Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
What we mean by Patriotic Weekend is this is one of the opportunistic times that you and I have together to actually change and forward the direction of our nation. Actually, in today's language, what I would like to say, even though I really, I would rather not say this, but I would actually like to change the direction of our nation back to what our nation is supposed to be. I understand that in today's world that we have a education system. We also have a media system that is trying to tell you that history is not what it was. And today I hope to set the record straight. And I'm going to use an incredible amount of verifiable documentation so that if anybody wants to argue the points, they're welcome to go and look up all the references. I have them all. I have printed copies. I also have online documentation. One of the organizations that I use has the largest cache of the documents of the foundations of our nations, and they're all on display. You can see them with the original signers of the original authors. And so I want to say this, that I am speaking today as Pastor Steve Castle, as a 501c3 organization. Beloved Church does not have the legal right to endorse or hinder any candidacy. But as a pastor, I am a human being and an American. And as an American, I'm standing up here and I'm telling you what my opinions are. I'm going to verify my opinions. I'm going to use the Word of God to tell you how I got my opinions. But I'm telling you that I am not standing up here as president of Beloved Church Community telling you that this is what Beloved Church either espouses or works against. This is coming from Pastor Steve Castle. So if they're going to arrest anybody, it's me, not you. What an honor that would be. What an honor that would be. So this is Patriotic Weekend 2016. I can't wait till we get to 2020 so that we can say no longer do we have to choose of the lesser of two evils, but we get to choose between righteousness and evil. And so for those of you that are out there right now, I'm going to tell you that you have been literally manipulated by the enemy through the media to not do what you were recreated to do, which is advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The media has told you that there are two people running for leadership of this country. One of them, according to the media, has already won, and the other one is a buffoon. So therefore, you shouldn't vote. You, evangelical, sold out to Jesus, can change the whole world, Christian, you should stay out of this. The enemy has done a very good job of letting you know that he has won. The problem is, Jesus doesn't throw any fights, and he wins everything he gets into. So I'm here to tell you, don't count the votes until the votes have been counted, because you might be surprised what the outcome is. And if you don't participate, congratulations, the enemy has just won your will. Amen. I want to start by saying that this is a Christian nation. It was a Christian nation. This is a Christian nation. We probably don't have the fruit that we should have, but that has to do with the trees. You, beloved, are trees. American citizens are trees. If we will ever understand our nature and understand our recreated identity, we will bear the fruit that comes from the DNA of who we are. If we continue to allow the world to form us into the mold of what it is, then we will have the fruit that the world wants us to have, because we will be deceived. You know that I had this revelation about deception, that the Lord said, you know, nobody that's in deception actually knows that they're in deception, otherwise they would never be in deception. And I believe that a majority of Christians are being deceived. They're being openly deceived. And because a lot of people around them agree with them, they don't realize how deep the deception is that they're in. And I'm hoping to wake up and to shake some of us who might have a bad philosophy based upon what the world's opinion is. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's levels of the will of God. And so I want to say a couple things. One, the Phillips translation says, don't be pressed into the mold of this world, but be transformed. A static position in this world is you will be forced into the mold of this world. That's the static position. The effort position is not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I'm hoping to renew some stuff. The second thing I want to tell you is that we are supposed to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The only way for us to prove that is to live that, walk that, talk that, and actionate that in our lives. So for those of you that have been manipulated by the enemy, even through other preachers, because I've heard it from preachers, that you have a choice between an evil or a lesser evil. And so you're not going to vote for evil. I got news for you. You better vote for the lesser of evil, because I want less evil and less evil and less evil in this country. So you better make a decision, honey. And you better decide that there's going to be less evil. Because until we decide there's going to be less evil and less evil and less evil, we're never going to get to the point where we get to choose between righteousness and evil. Because this is what we got. And another thing I want to point out, Lynn Lott shared this with me last night. She said that, you know, until Jesus Christ returns and there's no more voting, you're basically going to have to choose between the lesser of two evils anyway. So you might as well do it in this election as well. Because when the monarchy of our king shows up and there is no more voting, then we don't have to worry about all this. Until that, we better start lessening evil and increasing righteousness with every vote, with every vote, with every vote. And this is something tangibly that Christians have stayed away. If you want to stay out of government, great. You have the free will to do that, but I promise you, government won't stay out of you. They won't stay out of your children's hearts. They won't stay out of your marriage. They won't stay out of your economics. Government's going to get into every place in you that you let. So you just stand back and let government invade all of your life, because you think you're being a good Christian by staying in the church and staying your Christianity in the closet and not living it out there in the streets. I want to start with one of my personal governmental idols, I guess, would be President Ronald Reagan. I believe probably be one of the purest conservatives there is. And this is something that Ronald Reagan said in 1982 while he was President of the United States, for all of you that don't understand what real separation of church and state is. I also believe this blessed land was set apart in a very special way. A country created by men and women who came here not in search of gold, but in search of God. The United States of America is the only nation on this planet that has ever existed that was birthed because of people's beliefs that they wanted to freely worship Jesus Christ. You might argue that, well, the nation of Israel is a nation about God. Yes, it's a nation about God. But this nation is about Jesus Christ and the Trinity as a whole. It's the only nation that exists that was founded by that belief system that we want to freely worship God. Let me give you a little history lesson. The pilgrims came here on the Mayflower, and you can read the Mayflower Compact. We have copies of it. And you can find out that the reason that they left England, the reason that they left Europe, was because they did not want to conform to the religion that was controlled by the potentate, King George. King George was in charge of the entire religious system in England. And anybody that argued with his way of believing was eventually persecuted, prosecuted, and could be executed. The Mayflower was filled with a church. It was a congregation. Talk about a committed congregation. Would to God that we would understand the priorities that God has on our life and not look at church as a cool social club. And that congregation decided that because they would rather not have their children slaughtered because of their beliefs in Jesus Christ, they moved to Holland to flee the persecution of the Anglican Church. And in Holland, what they found was a freedom to worship, but they also found that their children were turning into a different heritage because they were taking on the heritage of the nation that they lived in. And so the only other option was to go to the New World, which is where we're seated. And in the New World, they had a right to maintain their heritage and their faith, and that is what the Mayflower Compact declared. And so when this country was founded, it was founded on a group of people who decided that worshiping Jesus Christ and keeping their heritage was more important than their own personal fortunes, than their jobs, than their sporting events, than anything else. And the church got together, got on a boat together, and risked everything. And I mean everything to go after that call of God on their life. Within 12 months of them landing on this coast, their church was cut in half by death. 51 of the original 102 people that came on the Mayflower died within 12 months. By the end of the next 12 months, another half died. 23 more people died. Talk about being committed. We threatened somebody today with a 3-hour church service they won't show up. They lost 75% of their lives to establish something that you sit in right now. Their blood provided the way for you to sit here right now and do what you're doing. How dare us not honor that? This country was created for people in search of God, not gold. They would be free people living under the law with faith in their Maker and their future. Sometimes it seems we've strayed from that noble beginning, from our conviction that standards of right and wrong do exist and must be lived up to. God, the source of our knowledge. God, the source of our knowledge. God, the source of our knowledge. This is a seated president who's being paid by taxpayers. When he's speaking these words, he didn't say the school system, the source of our knowledge. The scientific community, the source of our knowledge. He said God, the source of our knowledge. As a seated president being paid by taxpayers. Talk about a man who truly understands what separation of church and state is supposed to be. God, the source of our knowledge, has been expelled from the classroom. He gives us his greatest blessing, life. And yet many would condone the taking of innocent life. We expect Him to protect us in a crisis, but turn away from Him too often in our day-to-day living. I wonder how those crises happen. I wonder if He isn't waiting for us to wake up. I love the doctrines of President Ronald Reagan. I believe that today we could speak the same thing. I believe that God is waiting for the church to wake up, if she ever wakes up, if the bride ever takes her rightful place and clothes herself in robes of righteousness and understands her maturity and her opportunity based upon the last name that she has in her marriage, she will take this nation and this world by storm. You're that bride. And it's time for us to exercise the freedoms that we've been given. And it's time for us to have a true understanding of what separation of church and state means. That phrase was started by the original founders of this nation because the church was being invaded by the state. King George, the state, was invading the Puritans and the Pilgrims' religion. They were being invaded by the state and being forced in their churches to conform to the state's way of thinking. Dear Jesus, if there's any history that's trying to be repeated, that's the history that's trying to be repeated. I have made statements from this very pulpit in this place that if I was in a different location on this world, I could be arrested or put to death for. And I'm telling you, if we don't understand that, there will come a day that they'll come through those doors while I'm on this pulpit and they'll do the same. And I am not a doomsday preacher. I'm not the sky is falling guy. You guys know me. I am telling you that it is time for action. And this isn't just about elections, beloved. Our region is asleep. Look around you. I am preaching the unadulterated grace and love and goodness of God. And half our seats are empty. And we're scared to go and talk to our neighbors because they got a life and we got a life. Thank God that Jesus didn't have the same opinion. Thank God that the Pilgrims didn't have the same opinion. Thank God that the founders of this nation didn't just sit there idly by while King George stole their rights and raped their future. But they stood up and committed even their own lives and fortunes to what you and I so easily possess by birth. I dare say that if today there was an uprising, that this nation wanted to go completely communist, most of us would just sit idly by because we wouldn't want to rock the boat. And I say that with great fear and trembling, that a majority of Americans today would not do what the Americans of 230 years ago would do, and that would be to fight for their king and to fight for their freedom. And I hope by the end of this that you'll become one of those. It's time for us to take a stand, beloved.
Some things that time does not erase. Sometimes the only way forward is by facing the past. This is my story. I live lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. A railroad track ran behind our small church, and each Sunday morning at the exact same time, we heard the whistle from a distance, and then the clacking of the wheels moving over the track. It was at the same time every Sunday. We felt the rattling from the trail of cattle cars, accompanied by the screeching of metal that would echo through our church walls. It was a Sunday in the spring that would change my life forever.
Jesus said, "Do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Loving your enemy, this is a far better way." This is how we were called to live. To understand this unnatural virtue, we must look to Jesus Christ as our model and our guide. Was his strength. His silence, his statement to the world. We must pray for those who persecute us. Prayer is the mechanism that reaches heaven and moves mankind. Prayer. It's easy to underestimate prayer. But this quiet action.
Er ist aus der Sturm. the ice to him. He has to.
Years have passed and no one talks about it much anymore. I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. I can still hear him crying out for help. God forgive all of us who called ourselves Christians yet did nothing to intervene.
To think that I would have left that building and laid myself on those tracks that day. And I wouldn't want to think that I would have been alone. As we sit here, over 74 million of the most innocent lives that have ever existed have been extinguished because of what our society has called free choice. God have mercy on our souls. In Adolf Hitler's own autobiography that he wrote, he declared himself to be Christian. He said that he believed in Jesus Christ and in his writings and had spent time in the Bible. Germany was a Christian nation. And extinguished 6 million innocent people's lives to try to better their society. In a Christian nation. This isn't Pol Pot. This isn't some kind of dictator that just stood up and he was a Christian in a Christian nation that rose to power because he had a passion for what he believed in. And what he believed in ended up killing 6 million people. His passion for death that changed that nation should not be greater than our passion for life that should save lives and change our nation. So I want to talk to you about platforms. You think that what is at stake on Tuesday is going to be about one person versus another. But I'm here to tell you, it is not about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. You have been manipulated into thinking about that. You know one thing that you haven't heard? About the Senate races. About the governorships. about the lieutenant governors, about the representatives that are being elected every 2 years. Why? Because the media and the enemy want you to believe that this is about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, of which neither of you like. So they want you to stay home and forget about the fact that there are thousands upon thousands of races that are in contention that have the right, each one individually, to change the course of your life and your grandchildren's lives. And they have polarized us into thinking that this is about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. I'm here to tell you it is not about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the representative of the Republican Party, and Hillary Clinton is the representative of the Democratic Party. There are third parties, and they mean nothing. All they are is a distraction. There are two parties. And those parties have what are called platforms. And on those platforms, over 80% of their impetus will be derived. They will vote over 80% of the time. They will legislate over 80% of the time. They will mandate over 80% of the time in direct accordance with the platforms of their party. This is not about how Donald Trump feels about Miss America. This is not about Hillary Clinton's and her feelings on whether she should or should not have a private server. This is about the representatives that they have, a representation that they have to their party that will either keep them in office or eject them. This is about the Senate races. This is about the legislatures that are going to go into office and make laws that are going to change your life. And their platforms that they stand on. And these two, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, will follow lockstep in line with the party platforms that they represent. And to think any otherwise, you're just manipulated and deceived. And we need to hold these standards and understand what these folks are running on, what their platforms represent and don't represent. And I pulled this. The reason that you are going to find that these are not the greatest pictures is because I literally cut and pasted this out of their own Democrat, their own documents that these parties represent. So first, what is a platform? Man. I can't preach because I got to stay on track. What is a platform and why is it important? American political parties are organized on a national, state, and local basis every 4 years. The parties hold a national convention to nominate a presidential, vice presidential candidate. They also meet to approve party platforms of issues and positions set upon which the candidates will run. A party platform is a set of principles, goals, and strategies designed to address pressing political issues. Each party's platform is broken down into planks or declarations that speak to each specific issue. It's almost like a church's rules of conduct, or this is what we believe. This is the declarations of how we care. Party platforms and their planks are very important to the electoral process. They give the candidates a clear political position on which they can campaign. They give voters, that would be you, a sense of what the candidates believe in, the issues they think are important, and how, if elected, they will address them. And so I have a side-by-side for you to understand what these issues are, starting with marriage. The Democratic Party believes that marriage, they applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. They're not letters. They represent something. They believe that lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders can be married like every other American, and they have the right to marry the person that they love. Let me insert into this. Right now, as we sit here, there are people called lobbyists that are at the state and federal election halls, the Congress, the state congresses, and they are lobbying for all of the current legislatures to adopt their beliefs. There are lobbyists that are from an organization called the Association of Man-Boy Love, who are lobbying for state and federal candidates to adopt their belief that a man, let's say of 40 years old, has the right to marry the boy that he loves of, let's say, 9 years old. And don't shake your head like I'm making this up. Go look it up. There are also currently, right now, as we're sitting here, lobbyists that are in the state and federal level that are saying that we don't have just the right to only love one person. We have the right to marry three people or five people if we want to live in a completely disorganized fashion. That's our right. You can't tell me who to love. You can't tell me who to marry. Who makes you God? Who makes you judge? I can marry whatever I want, whomever I want, whenever I want. There are also lobbyists. Go look it up. I dare you. There are lobbyists that are saying that a man has the right to marry his daughter. This is what they believe in. This is just the start. LGBT is actually not even LGBT anymore. It's LGBTQP something. I don't even remember now. They've got so many letters on the end of it, I don't even know. They are literally telling you right now that there's language that gets to design people that are no longer male and female. We've come 6,000 years old, and any farmer in this place can go out into his herd and figure out within seconds whether that cow is male or female. But for some reason, we as human beings, the top of the food chart, can't figure out whether we're male or female. And that was brought to you by your governments. Congratulations. JFK put a man on the moon. Obama put a man in a woman's restroom. But there is still much work to be done, the Democrats believe. Democrats will fight for the continued development of sex discrimination law to cover LGBT people and others. They will fight. They will fight for what they believe in, will you? We will also fight for comprehensive federal non-discrimination protection for all LGBT people. That means if you own a business, let's say a bakery, for example, and you decide that you do not want to bake a cake that says that I believe and love lesbian marriage, you could be put in jail or fined hundreds of thousands of dollars if you believe in the democratic plank of marriage. The Republicans, as pulled right from page 11 of their planks, we condemn the Supreme Court's rulings in the United States versus Windsor, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress to define marriage policy in federal law. We also condemn the Supreme Court's lawless ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges. In Obergefell, 5 unelected lawyers robbed 320 million Americans. That's you. Americans of their legitimate constitutional authority to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman. I will remind you 2,000 years ago that Jesus settled this when he said that in the beginning God created them man and woman. For those of you that aren't paying attention, man means boy, woman means girl, and he created them from one flesh. That's one marriage for one man to one woman. That's how Jesus defines it. And that's how it's been defined for 6,000 years up until 6 months ago. Because we've progressed so far in our intellect in today's world that we can tell God that he's a fool. On the platform of human life, Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health, rights, and justices. We believe unequivocally, you know what that word means? No bones about it. Unequivocally, that every woman should have access to quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion. They want more women to have abortions. Regardless of where she lives, how much money she makes, or how she is insured, we believe that reproductive health is core to women's, men's, and young people's health and well-being. We will continue to oppose and seek to overturn federal and state laws and policies that impede a woman's access to abortion, including by repealing the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment says that you cannot kill a baby after a certain area of gestation. The Democrats believe that you should be able to kill a baby at any point until they come out of the womb, and then if nobody's looking. They believe that 14 seconds before a baby takes its first breath, it's not a baby. 14 seconds later, it's a human being protected by all rights. I think God would disagree. And I think we should be on God's side in this matter. I think that what He created in life is very precious. And we should have that same opinion. The Republican plank says the Constitution's guarantee that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence proclamation that all are endowed by their Creator. How dare them use the term Creator? It's almost like they believe that there's a God and that He rules in the affairs of men. And endowed by their Creator with the inalienable right to life. That we have to say that is so sorrowful. Accordingly, we assert the sanctity of human life and the affairs of that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. We support a human life amendment to the Constitution and legislation to make clear that the 14th Amendment protections apply to children, not fetuses, not hunks of tissue, but children before birth. Life begins at conception. And if you talk to God, life began before conception. Because you were in the Father's heart before there was an earth to put you on. You didn't come from your parents, you came through your parents. On judges, the Democratic Party, we will appoint judges who defend the Constitution principles of liberty and equality for all. Protect a woman's rights to safe and legal abortion. Let me say that again. They will, on purpose, put judges in that will make sure that abortions become more rampant. On purpose. Curb billionaires' influence over elections. There are few richer people than the Clintons. That is so funny. Over elections because they understand that Citizens United has fundamentally damaged our democracy and see the Constitution as a blueprint for progress. A blueprint. A blueprint, let me put that in today's language. That would be the same as the average Christian that says, you know, I read the Bible. Some of the stuff I agree with, some of the stuff I don't. You know, what is it, like, eternal? What is it, settled in heaven and earth? Come on. There are no absolutes. Have you ever heard that one? There are no absolutes. That is the stupidest thing that anybody, that is dumb squared, dumb. Saying there are no absolutes is an absolute statement. That is stupid. And people say it all the time, thinking that they're intellectual. You're an idiot. I'm sorry. Let me use the Greek. Megas enotes. Enotes. Megas. This happens all over our country right now. People think that their intellect is that greater than the world. Greater than God's. The Republican Party believes that they support the appointment of judges who respect traditional family values. Psst, that's you. That's you. They think like you. They're like regular people like you. Traditional family values and the sanctity of innocent human life. We condemned attempts by activist judges at any level of government to seize the power of the purse from the people's elected representatives by ordering higher taxes. They don't just want into your womb. They want into your wallet. They want into your mind. They want into your health care. Because listen, beloved, you're just too stupid to carry about your own health care. You can't make those kind of decisions. You're not wise enough. Let us, the government, handle all the affairs of your life. Just come on into our cradle, and we'll take you from cradle to grave, and we'll take care of all the needs of your life. And if anybody tries to interrupt that like a Jew, we'll just haul them off and kill them. This election, more so than anything else, is about judges. The next 30 plus years of Supreme Court justices will be decided by the next president. Judges that say, you know what, if your daughter is in the restroom, it is totally fine for a guy to come in there and watch, and even videotape her. It's totally okay. We're cool with that. We're fine with that. In fact, go to Target. You can have that happen to you right now if you want. They're at current count, and the last time I looked was over a month ago. At current count, there are over 60 occurrences of men going into women's restrooms in Target and either videoing or ogling girls and changing rooms. 60. And they only passed this law just a few months ago, just in case you weren't paying attention. My daughter won't go to Target. And if for some reason, by the entire earth collapsing except for a Target building, and she does need to go into the restroom, her dad will be standing outside the door with clenched fists, waiting for a guy girl to try to make her way, his way, into my daughter's privacy. And I'd be arrested for that too. And it'd be worth every second. Amen. This election is about judges. If you don't vote correctly, they will put judges in that will dictate to you, your children, and your grandchildren what they believe marriage should be, what they believe education should be, what they believe that your future should be, which looks like a very socialistic, communistic nightmare. Or, in other words, a train loaded with people that disagree going off into nowhere that we know and being done nothing that we are aware of. Why is religious liberty important?
Where I am from, to be a Christian means to be a second degree citizen. It meant to be harassed and threatened simply just for worshiping Jesus Christ. In her way to work, my wife had rocks thrown at her almost every day for not wearing a head cover. In one occasion, my family was threatened and one member of my family was beaten. My dad was kidnapped for 24 hours in a mosque by extreme Muslims. Evangelism is forbidden by law. It's an accusation that can take you to jail for the rest of your life. Just giving somebody a Bible that can give you beaten to death. I think many people who were born in this country do not really realize how precious is being able to do this. I remember the first time I gave away a Bible in America to a Muslim guy. It was like a dream to me. We can meet them at grocery stores, at the farmer's market. So we go there and we start a discussion. We invite them to a cup of Arabic coffee. And this is how we meet them and we start a relationship with them. And many of them are very open and hungry. They have a lot of heartbreaking stories to tell. They need just some listening ears. And many of them are coming to faith. They have this fresh love of Jesus Christ. Sharing the gospel is the most important thing we can do in our lifetime. This is why freedom of religion is so important and precious, and we should fight to keep it.
Do not devalue what these guys would be willing to die for. Let me give you a couple of examples. Right now, in our nation, I can give you a website that keeps track of these things. There are things like two Christians who were sitting on a park bench that handed somebody a tract and they were arrested. That's the story. That's the whole. You're waiting for the punch. That's what happened. There are pastors in Houston that have had their all of their personal text messages, their phone calls, their sermons outlines and the things that they taught in their discipleship classes, they were subpoenaed by a mayor because they were looking for hate speech. And by hate speech, they defined it as a pastor talking against homosexuality. That would be hate speech, based upon that lady's interpretation. And I got news for you. She has a majority of Democrats behind her interpretation. What I'm doing today would be considered probably hate speech. If I was in Canada, they would arrest me for today. If I was in the UK, they would arrest me for today. Do you think that we're in this cute little American bubble and we're just going to continue to exist with our freedoms and nobody's going to be willing to fight for them? You are naive to the 10th degree. We have to stand for what we believe in. Otherwise, you'll fall for what they believe in. For religious liberty, the Democrats believe that they know our nation, our communities, our lives are made vastly stronger and richer by faith in many forms and the countless acts of justice, mercy, and tolerance it inspires. We believe in lifting up and valuing the good work of people of faith and religious organizations and finding ways to support that work where possible. I doubt it. The Republican Party, we value the right of American religious leaders to preach and Americans to speak freely according to their faith. Republicans believe that the federal government, specifically the IRS, is constitutionally prohibited from policing, policying, or censoring speech based on religious convictions or beliefs, and therefore we urge the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. Let me tell you about the Johnson Amendment. It was passed in 1954 by Lyndon B. Johnson, a Texan. God bless him. A Democrat who was running for re-election in a Senate seat when two religiously inspired 501c3 organizations said that because of his socialistic and communistic policies in certain areas, they would not agree with him being reelected to the Senate. And so he tried to sue them. And he could not, because they were protected by the Constitution to free speech, even as a 501c3 organization. So, after he became senator, he then became president of the United States, and then he went to the government and said, I would like a Johnson Amendment slipped into this bill that says if you were in a 501c3, you don't have the right to talk about politics from the pulpit. And we have the Johnson Amendment since 1954. Beloved Church has dabbled on the line of losing our 501c3 status for some of the things that your beloved pastor has said. Surprise. The Republicans believe that we should repeal that amendment. I agree as well. These are platform facts. You can look them up. I encourage you. God is in the Republican platform 10 times. The Democratic platform contains one reference to God, which was initially omitted, then reinserted to booing from convention delegates. And their section of faith does not include the mention of God. What in the world do they have faith in? Would you like me to tell you? The government is what they have their faith in. Constitution or a variation. Constitutional is in the Democratic platform 6 times. In the Republican platform, 60 times. The 2012 Republican platform supports American exceptionalism, public display of the Ten Commandments as a reflection of our history and Judeo-Christian heritage, the rights of students to pray, including under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. Voter ID. Shocking that we'd want to identify voters and not identify drivers. Strict constitutionalist judges and rejecting the use of foreign law, such as Sharia law, which would be Muslim law, for those of you that aren't paying attention, in U.S. courts. Here's the references. To the 2012 Democratic platform supports LGBT families, embryonic stem cell research. Embryonic stem cells means you kill a baby to get spinal fluid from them. Supreme Court justices like Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor, consumer watchdog agencies, public funding for the National Endowment of the Arts, Medicaid funding for Puerto Rico. I just
Had to put that in there. I love you a lot. I really do like Puerto Rico. I'm okay with that. Decreasing America's nuclear arsenal and open homosexuality in the military. That'll make us strong. What is your part? The Reverend Charles Finney, the church must take right grounds in regards to politics. A reverend told us to get into politics, not get out of politics. Follow me. The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground. Consistent ground, consistent ground. That means little by little. Consistent ground in politics. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter. But the time has come when they must act differently. God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray for, unless the church will take right ground. It seems sometimes as if the foundations of the nations are becoming rotten, and Christians seem to act as if they think God does not see what they do in politics. But I tell you, He does see, and He will bless or curse this nation in according to the course Christians take in politics. It is so awesome that the Reverend Charles Finney said that yesterday. Or maybe that he said that in 1830 and his congregation did not listen, and you and I live in the aftermath. 1830, he prophesied what we live in. The Reverend Frederick Douglass, who was commentated as being the most influential black man of the entire 19th century, says, I have one great political idea. That idea is an old one. It is widely and generally assented to. Nevertheless, it is very generally trampled upon and disregarded. The best expression of it I have found in the Bible. It is the substance. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. This constitutes my politics. The negative and positive of my politics, and the whole of my politics. I feel it is my duty to do all in my power to infuse this idea into the public mind. The people that don't even believe the way that he does, he thinks it's his importance to put that into their belief system. Into the public mind, that it may be speedily be recognized and practiced upon by our people. What is your part? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Let me tell you what disgrace means. Disgrace means disgrace. We believe in the grace of God. You are seated in a grace church. We believe that we are saved by grace through faith, not of our own works, not lest any of us should be able to boast. We believe that the grace of God is what makes it possible for us to live out the life that we have. We believe that it is God's grace, His infusion of divine power into our life that gives us the right to love, to live, to experience the glory of the kingdom. And this scripture says that you can diss the grace of God. If you're born in the, or if you are alive in the 80s or the 90s, you know what it means to diss something. And we've been dissing the grace of God by our nation's current context. And it's time for us to believe and live by this verse. Is America a Christian nation? I'm going to go really fast on this. Clearly, there was a predominant Christian consensus in colonial America that shaped the founders' thinking and their writing to the founding documents and laws resulting in the republic we have today. The Declaration of Independence identified the source of all authority and rights as their creator. And then accentuated that individual human rights were God-given, not man-made. Thus, there would be no king or established religion to stand in the way of human liberty or dignity, uniquely Judeo-Christian ethics. This core group of men, there was 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, represents the religious sentiment of those who shaped the political foundations of our nation. As a matter of public record, look it up. The delegates included 28 Episcopalians, 8 Presbyterians, 7 Congregationalists, 2 Lutherans, 2 Dutch Reformed, 2 Methodists, 2 Roman Catholics, 1 unknown, and 3 deists. Deists are people that believe in a God, but don't necessarily believe in a personal God. A full 93% of its members were members of Christian churches, and all were deeply influenced by a biblical view of mankind and government. Talk about separation of church and state. The people that started this country were Christians and started it on Christian values. Is America a Christian nation? I, Todd
said by Samuel Adams, the father of the American Revolution and signer of the Declaration of Independence. I recommend my soul to the Almighty Being who gave it, and my body to commit to the dust, relying upon the merits of Jesus Christ for a pardon of all my sins. That sounds pretty Christian by a politician. And then Patrick Henry, who was the governor of Virginia. The governor of Virginia. We have a governor in our nation, in our state right now today. I pretty much will guarantee that he would not say, "This is all the inheritance I can give to my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one thing which will make them rich indeed." Patrick Henry. Is America a Christian nation? We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus. John Hancock and John Adams, both signers of the Declaration of Independence. That sounds pretty Christian to me. 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, nearly half of the signers, had degrees from what would be today considered seminaries. They were preachers. Nearly half of... They started the Sunday school movement. One of the signers of the Declaration of Independence just started the Sunday school movement. I'll remind you that only as of lately did the Sunday school movement not still exist in the church. Started Bible societies, started missionary societies, penned numerous religious works, published Bibles, the American Family Bible and the Greek Septuagint to English. On September 12, 1782, Congress approved the production of nearly 20,000 Bibles. Congress, funded by you, the Congress, printed Bibles. Man, have we come a long way. Written inside each of these Bibles. What would you say inside of a Bible if you were Congress today printing a Bible? Probably something like, "We completely disagree with everything that's in here." But what they said in the inside covers of their Bible was, "Whereupon resolved that the United States in Congress assembled recommends this edition of the Bible to the United States. Designed for the use in our schools." Guess what they took out of the school not that many years later? Congress itself was the first Bible society. This is what's called a broadside. John Hancock was one of the signers and one of the founders of our nation, a father of our nation. In fact, you probably remember John Hancock because he had the largest signature on the Declaration of Independence, and it was quoted of him that said the reason he signed it so large was so that King George could find him first. Talk about a person who's bold in his beliefs and his stances for what he determines that this nation should be. This is what's called a broadside. Back in that day, they did not have Facebook. Shocking to the young generation, but they did not. The only way for them to publicize the proclamations that they made was to put them on the broadside of a barn. Thus, we have the statement, "You can't hit the broadside of a barn, but the government can." In this document, John Hancock, Esquire, Governor of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Governor, seated Governor of Massachusetts. Not with that word. Said, in proclaiming, "Today is a day of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer." I'm synopsizing, you can read the whole thing later. He put his dependence in the Supreme Being. He also says, "I have therefore thought it fit by and with the advice of the council to appoint, and I hereby do appoint Thursday, the 11th day of April next, to be observed throughout the Commonwealth as a day of solemn fasting, humiliation, and prayer, calling upon ministers and people of every denomination to assemble on that day in their respective congregations that with true contrition of heart may confess our sins," our sins, "resolve to forsake them and implore the divine forgiveness through the merits and meditation of Jesus Christ our Savior. Humbly supplicate the divine ruler of the universe to prosper the administration of the federal government and that of this commonwealth." He said he's committing his own commonwealth to Jesus Christ. "And other states in the Union, in doing them with firmness, wisdom, unanimity, and public spirit, and leading them in their respective public councils to such determinations as shall be adopted to promote the great end of government." That's the purpose of government. "The welfare and happiness of the people, to restore and maintain peace in our borders, continued health among us, and give us wisdom to improve his blessings and for his glory and our own good." I wish our government would have a proclamation on the broadside of a barn. This same group of people also produced this guy named Elliot Boudot. Elliot Boudot was one of the signers of the Declaration. He was also president of Congress. He signed the peace treaty to end the American Revolution. He was the first attorney, talk about changes in law, he was the first attorney admitted to the U.S. Supreme Court bar, and he framed the Bill of Rights. He was also the director of the U.S. Mint. You want to know why America was so wealthy? It's because of a guy like this who wrote a letter to his daughter. And he says, "You have been instructed from your childhood in the knowledge of your law state by nature. The absolute necessity of a change of heart and an entire renovation of the soul to the image of Jesus Christ. Of salvation through his meritorious righteousness only. And the indispensable necessity of personal holiness without which no man shall see the Lord." And he quoted Hebrews 12:14. "You are well acquainted that the most perfect and consummate doctrine knowledge is of no avail without it operates on and sincerely affects the heart and changes the practice and totally influences the will. And that without the almighty power of the Spirit of God enlightening your mind, subduing your will and continually drawing you to himself, you can do nothing. And may the God of your parents for many generations past seal instructions to your soul and lead you to himself through the blood of his too greatly despised son, who not with knowing standing is still reclaiming the world to God through that blood, not imputing to them their sins. To him be glory forever." This would be the politicians of days gone by. Is America a Christian nation? Consider these quotes from our past commanders in chief. That would be presidents. "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." George Washington, president number one, said it's impossible for this nation to be governed without the Bible. President number two, John Adams, "The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the Scriptures." Could you imagine a president of the United States standing up now and publicly telling all of the nation to search the Scriptures, talking about the Holy Bible of Jesus Christ? "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Andrew Jackson, the seventh president of the United States of America. It wasn't just the first president. It wasn't just the second president. It was also the seventh president of the United States. And Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of the United States, for which our state gets its tagline, "The Land of Lincoln." Do we still agree with our nation's intent by this commander-in-chief? "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given man. All the good from the Savior of the world," that would be Jesus Christ, "is communicated to us through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong." He did not rely on the federal Supreme Courts to determine right from wrong. He said Jesus Christ knows right from wrong. And that was a seated president of the United States of America, and also the person from whom which our nation, our state is named. Inside the Bible's pages lie all the answers to all the problems man has ever known. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, and refresh our souls. Ronald Reagan, who was past the 16th president of the United States. Many of you in this room were alive when he was seated as our president. Jesus is Lord of America. Matthew chapter 28. Says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Would that include the United States? "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Let me give you a different rendering of teach all nations. Teach, disciple, nations, people groups, groups. We are supposed to be discipling people groups. Beloved, the church can't even barely disciple our neighbors. We have a difficult time discipling our own children, and Jesus commanded with all power and all authority for us to disciple nations. We are supposed to be bringing this nation into discipleship. You know what another word for discipleship is? discipline. We are supposed to be disciplining this nation based upon what Jesus Christ lived, died, and was resurrected for, and had gathered all power and all authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, immersing them in the name and the nature and the character of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, all things, all things. That means we don't let one of them go. That means we don't allow ourselves to be even conformed in one area. That means that we don't just give up marriage. Well, the Supreme Court said so. I got news for you. I'll fight. I will fight to every last breath is in my lung for this nation to recognize that marriage is supposed to be one man and one woman so that they can have a godly seed that will change this nation. Teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. You don't have to do this on your own. Jesus is going to go with you. Amen. What is my part? Hebrew is the language that God chose. When God talked to Adam and Eve in the garden, He spoke in Hebrew. God chose that. Adam and Eve didn't choose that. The first language that was invented by the Creator, and He gave that to Adam and Eve, and that language is called Hebrew. So if you want to really understand how God's language system worked, it would do you good to understand a little bit of Hebrew. For example, do you know that there are words that do not exist in Hebrew? One of those words is coincidence. You cannot say coincidence in Hebrew. God has no word for coincidence. It's a man word. You know what that means? Everything was designed to either bring you abundant life or to kill you and steal from you and destroy you. Jesus told us about God's language in John chapter 10, verse 10. Everything that comes by you is not a coincidence. It's not an accident. It didn't happen by chance. It was designed to kill you or to give you life. There is no word in Hebrew for coincidence. There is no word in Hebrew for retirement. Yeah, all the aged folks are staring me down right now. I didn't write, go talk to God. I didn't write it. You know what that means? We actually have a purpose that doesn't cease when you get to a certain age. I promise you, the only way that I will stop preaching the gospel is if they force the breath out of my lungs. They can lock me up. They can cut my tongue out. I will live my life and preach the gospel. St. Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. I will preach the gospel always, and it's not going to end when I turn 62 or 65 or 67. In fact, when I turn 67 and I get loose and I get these kids all settled, I'm going to preach it faster and farther than I've ever preached it in my life. You watch. Another word you cannot say in Hebrew is rights. You know you do not have rights according to God. Did Jesus have rights? Yeah. He laid them all down. He had a will. He didn't have rights. He did what His Father did. He said what His Father said. You do not actually have rights. In Hebrew, there's no word for rights. Because God has always been God. Why would you need rights when God was taking care of you? So you actually don't have a right to vote. You know what the language would be in Hebrew? You have a duty to vote. You have a responsibility to vote. That's God's language. That's Hebrew. What is your part? In Romans chapter 13, it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. God created the governments. And I encourage you to go through this and read. I'm on a time break, but you got to go and read Hebrews chapter 13. This talks, the entire chapter of Hebrews chapter 13 breaks down what our responsibilities to as Christians are to the federal, state, and local governments. Jesus is still Lord of America. There should be more amen than that. Jesus is still Lord of America. Now, we have voters' guides. We are going to hand every person that is over 18 a voter's guide. We're also going to hand every person in here that's under 18 a voter's guide. Why? Because you need to be informed. You need to know what candidates stand for, because one day you're going to be over 18 and you are, dear Jesus, going to court my life. And if you're my own son, you could lose a limb if you make the wrong choice. So we're going to give you voters' guides. If you are under 18, you have a legal right to go with your parents and participate in the process. That's a blessing. You should go and do that so that you can experience what that is. And so on your way out, we have ushers that will hand each of you a voter's guide. You have legal federal protection to take your voter's guide in the voting booth with you. You don't have to memorize the thing and then go vote. You take it in there with you. Not every candidate will follow their platform. Some candidates don't have a platform, so you need to determine based upon their voting records. These voter guides are based on voting records. Amen. Please, beloved, if you care about Jesus, if you care about His kingdom, and you care about this nation and your grandchildren, please exercise your responsibility to chart the course of this nation by voting for the less wicked or the more righteous person on Tuesday, if you haven't already. Amen? Father, I thank You that this Word seats down into these folks' hearts, that this is not about some public service that they have to do. This is about having an opportunity to change our nation from the course and the direction that it has been taking for far too long. Father, we thank You that Jesus Christ is Lord alone of this nation, and we want His righteousness to reign in our government halls and in our Constitution and in our judgments from our judges. And we do this now, pleading through the power and the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's kids said amen. Amen. Amen.